This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so you're hands-free to get more done during calls. And with multi-window view, you can use up to three apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen-Hilton.
With guest host Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How much better do you think this team can get on offense, Jalen Hurts?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Hurts dives, and he's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs, plus actor Ed O'Neill. And now, it's Susie Schuster.
Well, hello, everybody. Back in the saddle. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. And by the way, it should say guest host Marshall Faulk, because let me just explain how things roll in my house. Rich Eisen is my husband. Marshall Faulk's kind of my other husband. This is my work husband, Marshall Faulk, because the minute I heard I'm coming on to sit in the chair for Rich after a Monday night doubleheader, hey, Marshall, hey, can you come sit next to me? Hi, Marshall.
Hi, Suze. It's appropriate. This is called a sidecar. You know, like you get the motorcycle, and I just want to be in your sidecar. I got you.
I know
we're good
you do.
Today.
I know you're going to hold my hand across the aisle.
We're going to do this. We're going to represent for Rich.
We got this here on the Roku channel. My first time in the seat with the Roku channel, so I want to say hi to everybody there. Chris Brockman, good morning.
What's up?
How are you?
Good to see you. 28. What's up, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
It's great to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah. Love working with you.
Yeah, you're the best.
You're fine. I like working with you.
I love working with him. It's always fun.
We have
good history. We have really good history.
You back a long time.
Yeah.
Mike Del Tufo, my friend of a long time. How are you?
How you doing? Good.
I'm great. And TJ Jefferson. I should say good morning to your mom.
Yeah.
Because she's out there watching. Definitely. Good morning, Mrs. TJ Jefferson, mom. And I want to say hi to you, but great to see you as well.
Well, you know, Susie's in the house. That means mimosas. So we got the OJ. We got the champagne. Turn up a little bit today.
Nice.
That kind of thing.
Nice.
I kind of think that's what this calls for. It's a celebration.
I came correct. I brought two bottles because last time we went through one really fast.
Yeah, that's true. 844-204
Rich, I'd like you to call in. Let's start talking about stuff. Let's talk about those two games last night. But 204 Rich, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Rich Eisen Show. As you all know, I don't have a Twitter handle because I don't have the personality for it, but that's neither here nor there.
That's actually not true.
Yeah, I don't have.
Maybe I have the personality
for You've
it.
You've always had the personality for Twitter. Could you imagine, TJ, you say you like to clap back. Can you imagine the
viciousness.
Clapbacking that would go on right now?
It would be, she would shut it down.
We had at Susie Schuster.
But Susie, much like you, I no longer have a Twitter account either. So
Is that right?
It's cool. Yeah, I got suspended.
My man got suspended.
Well, did you really? Whoa, I missed this.
Wow.
When did this happen?
We didn't even talk about it yesterday.
What did you do to get suspended, TJ? Forget about the doubleheader. What did you do to get suspended?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I have no idea. But you know what? I don't really care either. It's like I saw it and it was almost like a burden. Marshall, it was like relief came over me. It's like, now I don't got to go to this site and check and read this garbage every day. So you know what? I'm cool with it. And my life has been better. I got to be honest with you. It has been better without
So
Twitter.
Nothing happened?
Well,
I don't know, Marshall.
Something went down.
Yeah, because you know, it's all the provocative stuff that I tweet and all the inappropriate pictures and all the stuff. The stuff that people get away with putting on Twitter, which I'm not trying to snitch on, is amazing. I think I posted a screenshot. Here's what happened. DAZN had a fight this weekend, Canelo versus Triple G. My boy Gabe Rosado was on the undercard of the main event. He had a fight. I reposted a video of his introduction, not the fight, not the decision, just from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Ken Gabe Rosado. I put that on there. DAZN had it removed, and then the next thing I know, my whole
that's all that you did.
That is all. I look. That's the only thing DAZN got me, and
they
I was paying $100 a month for DAZN service. Which, by the way, that's cut off now. So I don't have a Twitter, but I
they
feel
used
good
him.
About it.
They used him.
Yeah, they used him.
Yeah,
any publicity, if they can cut somebody off for putting any of their material anywhere, they need viewers.
The minute he talked about boxing or fighting, I zoned out. Yeah. So I just came back in. Hey, what'd you say? Hey, TJ.
Wait a minute. Okay. What was this?
Ooh, hey, there's the pop. Let me fix the signs here. Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah. Hot bottles, let's go.
Listen, that's one of two. I'm just saying. And I brought you fresh squeezed orange juice last time.
Yeah, you got
crap.
You know, I don't really like pulp, but I'll drink it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Wow. We have good guests today, Marshall. Because that's how I roll.
We always do.
I thought, you know, we'd bring somebody hot in. Actually, I take no credit for it. I think it was like a redo. Stefan Diggs was supposed to be on last
weekend. Perfect redo.
I'm not sure if you know about this, but he kind of had a party last night. Him showed up.
So good.
Can
we
ask him about the him?
I can't wait.
So good.
I love the kid too, man. I just love the intensity that he plays with. He plays with purpose. Like you understand when he's on the field what he's on the field for.
Yeah, a career high. What was that? 3 touchdowns, Monday Night Football. He and Jerry Rice, the only two guys to have 3 career touchdowns on Monday Night Football. And he's a beast. You know who else is a beast? Josh Allen.
Oh.
I mean, they are who we thought they were, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's exactly why everybody was picking them to be in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to say this. They didn't just go up against 2 slouch defenses. They went up against 2 of the best of last year, 2 playoff caliber teams. And I'm just impressed at what I'm seeing from Buffalo. Sean McDermott has this team ready to play. And Ken Dorsey and what he's doing with this offense, the answers that they have for stuff that teams are doing, it is, man. Once he plays the teams in division twice, I want to see his adjustments. But so far, the things that he did against the Rams, they were like specific plays for certain situations. Guys were running wide open. And again, last night, they had it again. He's done a great job at introducing himself as offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah, the Bills beat the Super Bowl champions and last year's number 1 seed in the AFC. Combined score 72-17. That's not a fluke, Marshall.
No. Uh-uh. Like, listen, they're going to beat up on some people. In division, what next week, who do they have? Buffalo?
At Miami.
Like, that's going to be a tough game.
At Miami, but what about Miami? What about Tua? What about everyone on the field? That was incredible.
I just love the resolve. You know, it was like, you know, week 1, okay, Miami was good. Week 2, you're down to Baltimore, and you come back in that game. Listen, Tariq Hill puts out a lot of stuff, and he was telling us about Tua's arm and how good they can be. The second half of that game, I was like, maybe Tariq Hill knows what he's maybe he's right. And when I'm starting to look at that I never really paid attention to in Miami for good was the offensive line is actually protecting the quarterback. The kid was back there with time to throw the football, and he looked like he did when he came into the Alabama Georgia game and saved that game for them. That's what he looked like. He looked like a savior for the Dolphins.
That line looks good. Arizona's line looks good. I had to go to Kyler Murray really quick because I wanted your reaction on that kid is a yo-yo. That kid is a video game. What are you thinking when you're watching him? And I'm sorry to go over to Arizona. I want to talk about
that's fine.
The Eagles.
That's
and I
fine.
Want to talk about the Bills, but you said the O-line and I thought Arizona.
Yeah, I like what their offensive line is doing. And here's what I'm going to do. And the Cardinals, they're going to call me maybe a homer, the Rams, or I'm probably piss off their fans, but they are a first quarter of the season team. I mean, they can easily go 4-0. They could possibly get to 6-1. I just want to see them in the second half. That's all I want to see because they are a Jekyll and Hyde team. And I know we're not talking about it, but I just can't get over the fact that they had to put a clause in his contract for him to study. I can't get over that. That one. I'm serious. I have not gotten over that.
We have the same clause for Xander.
I would not have signed that contract because of that damn clause.
Our 14-year-old has a clause. Like, that's ridiculous.
I get 200-something million, but I would have been like, I don't know about this damn clause, man. Because that's gonna stick with him the rest of his career.
Yeah. I'd be so embarrassed if I'm the quarterback that has that clause. I would be humiliated.
But here's the problem, all right? A couple of other people got extensions that they didn't put. I didn't hear about their clauses. The GM got an extension. I didn't hear about his clause. The head coach got an extension. I didn't hear about his clause.
So why'd they hear about his clause?
Exactly.
That's the point, isn't it?
Yep. We see who the scapegoat is going to be if this thing don't go well.
But boy, did it go well.
They threw
this week.
It out there.
Yep, they did. All right, let's flip back, though, before we go on. Josh Allen.
Love him.
He is a machine. He's a beast. He's scary. I mean, someone was referring to him as the Terminator. I mean, he's got that baby face. It's hard to call him the Terminator, but what a big body, and watch out from play action.
I think, you know, when we start to think about quarterbacks and they have to have a certain look, you know, you start to think about where they go to school and where they play and where you got to draft them from and the type of competition that they play with. It's almost as if Buffalo was like, actually, we need a guy from Wyoming to come here and win. If you're going to play in Buffalo in the wind and the elements, and well, you actually need to be a cowboy and come ride some buffaloes and show us how to win. Nobody's really talking about the kid's DNA, his pedigree, and what he brought to the table, and how many questions was asked of whether this guy was the guy. And now everybody's looking for a guy like this. Everybody's looking for a guy like this.
And he seems like the quintessential
genuine
Buffalo guy.
Like,
just nothing fancy.
It's like,
no,
it's like
frills.
It's like you birthed Jim Kelly and then him. I mean, it's just that those two guys embody what playing quarterback for the Buffalo Bills is all about. Like that whole blue collar team, workman mentality, how they go about it. It's awesome.
And Marshall,
I just love what I see.
It's year-to-year development, right? Because Allen comes in and he's terrible and people think, man, that was a reach pick. And then he makes this huge leap in week two. And then suddenly week three, he's borderline MVP. And now year four, he's the best player in football.
Yeah, and it's consistency, you know, at the coaching position, which you allow your head coach to come in and do. And that's what teams aren't doing. When you look at some of these young quarterbacks, let's say Justin Fields. It's like, hey, can this kid be good? Let's see how many head coaches he go through.
Mm-hmm.
you can't. And I keep telling people this. The hardest thing to do is to teach a quarterback a new offense. If you want to see a quarterback struggle, look at Russell Wilson in Denver. Think about when Peyton Manning went to Denver before he had to run his offense. Think about when Tom Brady went to Tampa and they were running a different offense and Tom was like, that's the end of that. He had to tell the head coach that he needed to run his plays. I remember Favre trying to learn a new offense. It looked awful. You cannot put guys in systems that they're not familiar with. It just does not work. Matt Ryan, he looks lost.
Mm-hmm.
They're so comfortable with what they know.
It's a really good thing we have a 3-hour show because there's so much to unpack
there. Oh,
in
my God.
Nutshell,
this season is so young. Oh. It could go so many ways.
Well, that's why I go a little insane when everyone's like, well, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Like, you guys are constantly talking to each other about who's going to win the Super Bowl. And I think you are an injury away from something happening. Look what happened in San Francisco. I mean, now we've got Jimmy G back in the seat. It's time to rodeo, Jimmy. I mean, we've got him ready to go.
Man,
you can't say who's going to be the Super Bowl champion when we're in week 2-3. Come on.
It's so fun to just like overreact and speculate. It's the ultimate week to week.
You guys love to overreact.
Yeah, some ultimate week to week sport where everything can change, like you just said.
I mean,
there's
some excitement and some.
Well, some teams,
like,
you know,
Jimmy G, it's like
over,
a Friends episode. You know how it's going to end.
But you never watched a Friends episode.
That was for you.
You're like, I picked Friends. I'm like, but what about Ross and Rachel? He's never seen Friends.
That's my 49 people out there.
He's never seen a Friends episode.
Marshall, have you seen
Martin? And I couldn't believe it.
Oh, come on now.
Okay, well, then that's what we watch. We were watching Friends back then.
I know.
We were watching Martin.
Martin, yeah.
Martin, we were watching Living Single, and then we were watching New York Undercover. That's how our Thursdays
there
went.
You go.
For some of us, I'm just saying.
No, I get it. We've already hit the Little Mermaid this morning, TJ. Believe me, we're going deep on a sports television show. Like we're so in it to win it.
Before you go, think about this, guys. If you're John Lynch, are you rooting for Jimmy to win the Super Bowl or not? Like, What are you rooting for?
I mean, you got to root for the win, obviously.
No, right? Absolutely
you cannot.
Absolutely
if
not.
If Jimmy Garoppolo 10, wins the Super Bowl,
then you were totally wrong.
Your general manager's position in what you did right. is totally in question.
Yep.
So Granted. Now the guy who you should have got rid of, that's now playing for you, who just won a game for you, if he takes you to the Super Bowl and right. win, oh, my God.
I am all in on Jimmy G, and it's not just because he is gorgeous. It is because...
Is it because he's in the Subway commercials?
I don't know, and I don't think I've ever had a Subway sandwich before. That's
what?
Not any breaking news here, I don't
that
think.
That is breaking news.
You think so?
Well, I didn't know, so therefore you broke news. Yeah, you never
Marshall,
had Subway?
I said yesterday, no, Rich called me crazy. I said that Jimmy G should go into John Lynch's office and say, hey, you know the $18 million that yeah. I gave up to come back here? I want it now.
I
want
to get
or
paid.
Or I'm not stepping on the field again.
Nah, I wouldn't do that. I think the best thing that he could do is win as many games. He has to win the Super Bowl because he's taken, basically they changed quarterbacks because he couldn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then he couldn't win the NFC Championship. It's like that's what now. If he does that, John Lynch, and I love John, but you could not be put in a worse position as a general manager. Like, there's not a worse position to be put in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you decide, if he wins and you decide, I'm going to move Trey Lance now.
Who's going to take him?
Right. You cannot... It's just like, it's such a bad position.
But isn't this kind of like where we were a couple years ago in Philadelphia with all the question marks about who's your quarterback and who's going to, when they post Super Bowl, they had all these issues about who's going to be the starter,
yeah, but,
who's going to go from there.
But we knew, see, Philadelphia had already declared that it was Carson Wentz's team and that Nick Foles just came in for relief.
Right.
And as soon as Carson was healthy, it was Carson's job.
And Wentz had 14 weeks where he was basically the MVP of the league. We still haven't seen Wentz play. He's only played a handful of games.
Yeah, Philly was a little different. Now, where the situation was pretty similar was actually in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
when they had Colin Kaepernick
yeah.
and Alex Smith.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they had the exact same situation.
Well, then going back, they had Montana and Young too, mm-hmm. so they
had a pocket passer and an athletic quarterback. They've had this conundrum three times in their organization,
so
where
wild.
Some organizations have had it zero.
But Marshall, don't you feel like that's a better situation to be in? Because with the backup quarterback spot being so important,
I'd rather have
that guy than not have that guy.
CJ, I'll tell you right now. The more games Cooper Rush wins, the worse off the Cowboys are for Dak. It's just like, you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Okay.
It is not a position for competition. Those guys, they need to be coddled. They need to know that they're your number one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I love about doing this show? The A block is nothing how I thought it was going to go. I came in with an idea. I'm like, we're going to start talking Eagles. We're going to talk about Slay because Slay is a great name for a cornerback.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Bills. We're going to just be relaxed and easygoing. And nothing happened the way I thought it was as scripted. So just saying, it's a Tuesday.
All right, we'll talk about the Eagles next
Is it
block.
A Tuesday?
We'll
I don't even know. Yeah. All I know is, Jimmy G, it is time to rodeo. That's all I have to say. That's my little Yellowstone nod right there. It's time to rodeo, Jimmy. We got a lot more Rich Eisen show when we come back. Susie Schuster, Marshall Falk in. Mercedes Library. Let me talk to you about when you open up a Mercedes Sprinter van, by the way. I need one of these in my... I saw a Mercedes Sprinter van at the beach the other day.
I want one.
Somebody has converted a Sprinter van into a home.
Yeah, I'm
not joking. It was sweet. You're not just needing this van. You need this in your life. Because you're a Sprinter van kind of guy, especially now with your Achilles. We got to set up a whole living room in the back. You are unlocking. So, you guys, he just had surgery on his Achilles. I'm going to have to give him a piggyback out the door here. When you get a Sprinter van, you're opening up more than doors. You're unlocking potential. The potential to do your own thing. And let's face it, I don't beat to a drum, right? Be your own boss. Steer your own success. Blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set. to help you follow your passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences off your bucket list. Marshall, what's your number one bucket list thing?
I don't really have one.
That's a shocker.
Yeah,
because you really live don't your have life.
I've he's done everything.
I have it all.
Win a Super Bowl, check.
You do.
Hall of Fame, check.
That's true. Yeah. I don't have either of those two things, but I do want to get a Mercedes Sprinter van. So there, it's on my bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play at your dreams, no matter how far off the beaten path they take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of gas or diesel engine, I go diesel, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now, this is the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Much more Rich Eisen Show when we come back. Don't go anywhere. There's a lot coming up, including champagne.
What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaialai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaialai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jaialai app in the App Store. This sport with its intensity and athleticism is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant, supply chains are clogged, and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for margins? Well, not every business is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs as well, helps you automate your manual business processes and see where to save your money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. It's netsuite.com/richpod.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Susie Schuster, Marshall Falk with you for the day, 844-204-RICH. Please call, because I love callers. We already have Curtis in Colorado waiting, and we're going to get to you today. Worried about the Chiefs, but let's talk about Jalen Hurts. 333 yards, touchdown in the air, plus 57 more yards, two more TDs on the ground. The Eagles just decimate the Vikings 24-7, Marshall. And you love this kid.
I do. I do. And I listen, I don't want to anoint him, you know, but just – the distance traveled, where he came from, what he went through, all the winning at Alabama, then having to take a backseat, transferring to go to Oklahoma, winning there, then coming into to Philly. I mean, you can't come into a more difficult fan base. And, you know, Sirianni taking over. He's such a humble presence. And he's working his butt off, and you can see it. Like, I saw it last night, under pressure, staring down, like, the rush, making throws, leading his team. He has, put it like this, there'll be no clause in his contract for studying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he's proven to people, oh, what do I have to do to get to the next level? Let me do that. And I just, the sky's the limit for him. And I like what Philly has done and put what they put around him. Going to get A.J. Brown, that's like offensive line. Like, you just let Jason Peters go. You know, that don't happen. And you get better? Uh-uh.
Let's talk about that team. Let's talk about the game last night. What did you see that impressed you other than just a total rout?
Defensively, here's the knock. Let's not pretend like we don't understand. Kirk Cousins don't like the hot kitchen. He can't stand it. And that's what they did to him. Like they made him play the way that he's capable of playing when the game's on the line and everything matters. They came out and they played with an intense mindset of, you're not going to do what you did last week. And so Slay did a really good job on Jefferson. Now, they let him get away with some things, but you do what you got to do. And kudos to him, that whole defense, the whole team, all three phases, they kicked butt. Like, they took it to the Vikings in all facets of the game. They beat them on offense. They beat them on defense. They beat them in special teams. And they beat them in the coaching box.
But Slay was everywhere, it looked like, last night.
He was. And that's what you want. You know, you want a guy that's going to take on, that's willing to take on that receiver. Jefferson came off one of the best games ever. One of the best games ever. And he was like, nah, I got him. I was impressed.
Are the Vikings, let's talk about this. This is what you were talking about, Chris. People love hyperbole, overreaction. Are the Vikings done? I mean, how good are the Vikings? I can't tell. You tell me how good they are.
They're as good as Kirk Cousins.
Right. Do you like Kirk Cousins as a quarterback?
If you like 8-8.
He's at sea.
If you like, you know, if you like 9-8.
There's 17 games now. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, I was saying like this 9-8, to Rich last
like,
night.
9-8,
I'm just saying, like, I love Kurt. And if your team is, if you have a really good team, then he's going to look like Pro Bowlish. And if you have an average team, then, you know, he's going to look average.
Would you call him a system quarterback? I mean, what is he?
I don't even know if you call him a system quarterback. It's just, I don't, when you look at guys in the league, I think about what Josh Allen did, or what a Mahomes would do, or what Jalen Hurts did. You're the reason your team win games, not you're a part of the win. Like these guys, Aaron Rodgers the other day, he was the reason his team won a game. You know, it's like he's not just along for the ride. Kirk Cousins looks like he's along for the ride. He's not the reason the Minnesota Vikings are winning games.
It's kind of, what do you got, TJ? Something's in your head.
No, I was just going to say, Marshall, so he's not him, is what you're saying.
Kirk Cousins
ain't him.
Jalen Ramsey, he's him. Stephon Diggs, him. I want to ask him, what's him?
It was, you know, I'm going to show you the difference. Matthew Stafford wasn't him on the Detroit Lions. And when he came to the Rams, he wasn't him. And midway through that season, he really wasn't him. But in the playoffs, he became him.
Is this going to be like the new light box where everyone's going to start throwing around him? It's like we're talking earlier how
what
all of a sudden
him? What does that mean?
The jargon is getting really deep. Everyone's using light box now. Everyone's going to be saying him. I want to know, is this him 2022's version of?
I think it is.
He's the man.
Yeah. I think it is. And listen, when if you're using it in the context of Matthew Stafford, everybody was questioning, was it the Detroit Lions or was it him?
Mm. And but that's a negative him. That's like.
You caught that. That was really good.
I came to play today, Marshall. I came to play.
I want to go back to the Eagles for a second, Marshall. Do you think this team can be a Super Bowl team based on what you saw last night and through the first 2 weeks?
Everyone has them in their top five this week. Stephen
A has them in the top five now.
I'm going to say this. Based on the way Jalen played, if he can play at that level consistently, and even if he dipped a little bit, if the defense played at the level that they played at,
he's not going to have 400 yards of total offense every week.
He's not, but I'm saying let's say he's in the 280, 250, 260. He's going to always athletically get you yards with his legs. The question is, can the defense hold up? What's going to happen? And this is always it. What's going to happen when it's Philly score, they score, Philly score, they can he keep up with the pace? If they play at Tampa and Tom comes out and score the first three drives,
right?
Can he score the first three drives and buy his defense time? That's what you need. That's the question. He has to get them to that level. I don't know. I'm not going to say he's not there yet because I haven't seen him. I can't take it away from the kid.
Right.
Based on what I saw, listen, yes, they have a chance, but that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to answer to a Tom Brady, to an Aaron Rodgers, that I don't care how good your defense is, they can come down in first three drives, put up 21, and guess what you have to do? You have to match that to give your defense time enough to help you.
Yeah, I think we're going to look at the Philly schedule real quick. I mean, you throw it up there, they win the first two games, and now they have very winnable games here going into the bye week. Like, there's no reason why they can't be 6-0 heading into the bye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there for them. Now, I'm going to go to week 6. That's always a tough game. I don't care who the quarterbacks are.
Yeah, week 6 home for Dallas.
Yep, that Dallas game is good. That's always tough for Philly. And
even coming out of the bye, we don't know what Pittsburgh's going to look like week 8.
We don't.
It should be Kenny Pickett time by then, I would imagine.
We don't, but I'm not going to pass up week 4. There's something going on in Jacksonville.
You like it?
There's something going on in Jacksonville. What they did the other day, you know, that wasn't just the Indianapolis Colts. You know, that wasn't just the Colts laying down.
And we've been talking about that a lot here. The biggest thing for Jacksonville, not Urban Meyer, is the head coach, you know, and you got a guy, Doug Peterson, speaking of the Eagles, been there, done that, won the big game, and it's just kind of a culture switch now, and we're really starting to see who Trevor Lawrence is as a quarterback because you really couldn't evaluate him last year.
And they have a lot of good pieces, man. They've been drafting early for a long time. They got a lot of good pieces. I wouldn't be surprised. And here's what I'm saying. For Philly, that's not just another win. Like, they're going to have to earn that one
right
against Jacksonville because it's Doug.
Yeah. Well, that game's going to mean a little bit more to him.
They're going to have to earn that one. Yeah.
It's so crazy. Jacksonville? It's like, what? The Dolphins are
good?
What?
Right.
I know, but it's so funny when you're talking about this. The Patriots look like hot garbage.
It is week 2.
But it's overreaction. They're awful. I'm freaking out here.
Like, this is, you can get those wins. And let me say this. For those of you out there, our audience, you love football, you're going to deal with some ugly primetime games right now because preseason suck. Yeah. Nobody's playing. This is your preseason, in a sense. So these games are games. The first, like, month of the season, these games are games that you try to – if you can come out of here, you know, 3-1, 2-2, and you're a good team, and now you have your identity, fine. But you're gonna see wins happen – like you saw.
That's what I was just going to say to you, too. How many of these teams are kind of treating September
you have to
kind of as the preseason? And if you look at Denver, that's a really good example, I think. We don't really know what they're going to look like in October and November because nobody played in the preseason. Russell Wilson didn't take a single preseason snap. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, all their big offensive guys didn't play. And now we're kind of seeing them work out the kinks. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett has taken a lot of heat in the first 2 weeks, kind of rightfully so, but he's still learning too, and he's still getting adjusted to some of his guys.
Yeah, you look. I look at the primetime games, and I watch the level of competition, and they're one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought last night was going to be awesome, and it was 65-14.
One-sided. It's just like the teams don't. Not only have they gotten into that much football yet, but they don't have the legs. Yeah. Like you're not conditioned to go out in a game and get behind that many points and like, okay, we're gonna come back. That's why I marveled over what Miami did. I was like, wow, man, that was impressive.
But where's Tua getting all this from? Like, I feel like for so many years it was a question mark coming out of the system in college, and is he any good? But that turnaround,
they turned the corner last year.
That turnaround was something haven't seen in a long time.
No. Let's back up. They turned the corner last year.
Okay.
They were a team who turned the corner last year. I mean, they play really good down the stretch. I think they won like
8 out of 9.
That comeback is not a normal comeback.
No, it's not. It's not. But I'm just saying, as a team, they turned the corner last year, and then they were active in free agency. Man, they went out. And they said, we want to make a difference. And what they did to get Tyreek,
mm-hmm.
and you put him with Waddle, and those two right there, that's enough.
That's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and then they went out and got what, Mostert? They beefed up the backfield, beefed up the offensive line. I'm just impressed.
Their head coach, he seems like he's kind of a difference maker.
He's different. it's just the look on the sideline, bro. He's different.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him that.
Well, he doesn't look like Dan Campbell. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big difference between, a former tight end.
He doesn't look like he should be coaching in Miami, right?
Yeah, right.
But man, Bills Dolphins this Sunday, that's going to be must watch.
I like it.
That's going to be a fun I like it.
I don't, and I'm saying, I'm going to put it out there. I don't know if the Dolphins is ready for that smoke, but we're going to find out. Like if they, and I'm not saying the Dolphins have to win the game. If it's a competitive game,
yeah, because
listen, Buffalo, they've been coming out. So back in the day when we used to play, I was in Indianapolis and we go play the Buffalo Bills. Right before they would call out, like, the Buffalo Bills, on the screen, they put up, like, this herd of buffaloes stampeding, and you could feel it. Right now, when I watch the Buffalo Bills, that's what they feel like when they take the field. They just feel like they're going to just stampede you. And I'm like, who can withstand this? Who can take this on?
It's kind of great timing to have Stephon Diggs calling in, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't have... stepping it better, right? Good way to put it.
Perfect.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. They couldn't. That was a classy way to bring up how he's calling in soon. But Rich was so funny. He's like, you know, last week he was so upset. Stephon Diggs supposed to call in, couldn't call in, calling in for Snickers. But I think you're going to get him next Tuesday. Should be a good game. Thanks, Steph. Appreciate it. Looking forward to having you calling in the top of hour two. But
perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They are the Buffalo stampeding, and you can feel something coming. Don't you think, Chris? Like, for so many years, especially as a Patriots fan, you're like, oh, the Bills, whatever. Now it's like, oh, the Bills.
Yeah, I don't want to play the Bills ever. And, it stinks because, like, you know, they're the rival of a team that I like. But Josh Allen is so great. He's so likable. He's so fun to watch. You know, you just see him out there. His touchdown, but I think it was the second Diggs touchdown where he's just kind of casually rolling to his left and just flicks his wrist and it goes 50 yards. And you're like, holy crap, like that's incredible. And it's fun to watch his team play.
Here's the thing. If you're an opposing team, when you look at the Buffalo Bills team, like there's nobody you don't like. You're not like, oh, that dude, I can't stand him.
Like Brian Cox isn't on the team.
Right. They don't have any of that. Like there's nobody on that team that you look at and you're like, he's a dirty player. I can't stand him. Yeah. You're just like, all right, it's the Buffalo Bills and they're good.
And he impressed Tyreek Hill. He was out there watching, tweeting about Steph Diggs, saying, hey, Allen and Diggs' connection is crazy. I mean, He's watching, right?
It is. And you remember last year, Diggs kind of, they were throwing the ball around. He didn't get off to a great start.
Yeah.
Well, they changed that.
Well, no Gabe Davis last night really allowed Stephon Diggs to eat. You know, Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
You know,
even the week before, I mean, with Jalen Ramsey on him, they went at him. Yeah. They're like, we're throwing the ball to Steph.
Man, you think he's happy not to be in Minnesota?
I mean, you think? But he has an uncanny way to find the open field. And you would think it's like, you know, he's there. Cover him.
Yeah. Yeah. But they do a great, let me say this, his acumen for football and their abilities to move him around in different areas. And what happened last night was the other stepped up. When the other guys catch the ball and they make plays, You throw a screen to a fullback who scores. Your tight ends are making plays. Then you can't just key on one guy, and that's what they needed to happen. And when you realize, hold on, wait, Josh is going to throw other people the ball. Everybody's trying to get open now.
And if he's not going to throw the ball, he's just going to keep it. And he's going to freight train right through you. By the way, we haven't talked about Derrick Henry yet. I mean, he is a bad man, and he did almost nothing last night.
Yeah. Well, they took him out of the game. They took him out of the game. Once he and this is the knock for Derrick Henry. If they're down two scores, you've taken Derrick Henry out of the game. Literally. Because they cannot wait patiently. Now, for Tennessee, they had a lot of penetration. Buffalo was in their backfield. A lot of penetration. And I wonder, you know, just a little inside information. The left guard for the Buffalo Bills used to be the left guard for the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't change a lot of their calls. The philosophies for the run plays in the run game. And I'm going to give you your credit, Roger Saffold. Roger Saffold probably had some conversations. It's one game. Why would Tennessee switch up all of their stuff? But they understood philosophy-wise how to attack the Titans' run game. Buffalo did a great job.
And Vrabel just looked like he had food poisoning at the end of the game. He looked disgusted.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
It's laying back-to-back eggs. That's not his style.
No. Shout out, by the way, to punter Sam Martin, Appalachian State. Appalachian State. It's a big week for Appalachian State, too. Like, big 2 weeks,
I'm just,
right?
I'm just glad they got the Hail Mary. Right? They almost got caught up.
Against Troy, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
They almost got caught up listening to the noise.
Sam Martin, I mean, that punter last night, that end-over, a lot of drop balls for Appalachian State last night, right? it was sweet. Lots more ahead on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Steph Diggs calling in at the top of hour two. The great Ed O'Neill of Modern Family fame, Al Bundy. He is going to be playing Donald Sterling on FX coming up. So we're going to talk about that. Lots more ahead. Don't go anywhere. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Marshall Faulk, Susie Schuster, excited to be with you. Steph Diggs calling in at the top of the next hour. Why does he seem like the greatest kid, Marshall?
Just the smile, his presence, always energetic, and, you know, playing on the team that right now is the favorite to win the Super Bowl. And guess what? They're playing like it.
They are
playing like it.
That looked like an unflappable team last night.
It is early, but they are playing like it. It's like I was watching them, and I'm like, okay, what are the flaws in this? They aren't any.
Oof. That's early to say no flaws, isn't it?
Well, it's early. That's why we can say it's no flaws.
Right.
We have to. Someone will exploit them and find the flaw, and we're going to see if they can fix it. That's what happens. That's why it's hard to go undefeated. That's why the Dolphins get to pop the champagne every year. The 72 Dolphins. You know, it's like it's hard. Somebody's going to find that chink and exploit it, and then you're going to come back the next week and show teams that, hey, we figured out how to stop it, but it's extremely hard.
We just spoke about the Bills-Dolphins game coming up this coming Sunday. What else intrigues you for week three?
Man, isn't it hard to go beyond that game?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a skip and go to Monday night because the Cowboys found a way to win. And now you got a 2-0 Giants team. When's the last time this game has been relevant?
I can't remember. But then again,
this game hasn't been relevant in a long time.
Probably since before the boat picture, right?
I mean, maybe so.
Since the boat pick, the Giants have been awful, downright terrible.
I think it was like, I think maybe the last time it was relevant was Saquon first year.
Right.
When he was with OBJ, and it was like,
oh, yeah, okay.
And you know, I think.
But who was the quarterback then?
Yeah, I don't
even remember.
Right, but that's the last time this game is relevant. And any time the Giants are relevant, football's better, man. I'll give you that. And right now, you know, Dable is doing he got these guys believing in themselves. And Daniel Jones actually looks like a quarterback.
That was Eli's last
year. He looks like a quarterback.
Hmm.
So that game really intrigued me. I'm very interested in that game. I want to see, obviously, how. To me, that's a huge game.
Let's focus on the Dallas part of it then. Like, what do they do if Cooper Rush wins the next? Let's say he wins the next two or three in a row.
I don't think that's the problem.
Okay.
I don't think that's the problem. The problem is going to be when Dak comes back and he wins those games and then Dak loses. The question is going to be, are they asking Dak to do too much? And how do they call the game? Should they be calling games the way that they were calling games with Cooper Rush there? Or should they call games the way, because this is different. They're playing different. Like I watched a team. I mean, it's a whole different look when Cooper Rush is in the game. And sometimes you play according to your quarterback, or you play through your quarterback, and maybe Dallas is built to play through the running game.
So is it time to officially say that there's a quarterback controversy in Dallas?
I don't think there's a controversy. It's one game. But if they continue to win this way with Cooper Rush, and Dak then comes back, and they go back to playing the way that they played or that they play with Dak, there's an issue, philosophy-wise, offensively.
Because, you know, Irv's all in. I mean, you know, Irv's biased, but Irv's all in on Cooper Rush.
Listen, all man, Irv's all in on any Cowboy. any kind of way.
Irv picked Kirk Cousins to win MVP this year.
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Why?
That was kind of his big hot take going into the season.
Yeah.
Who's your MVP?
Oh, man.
After two whole weeks.
That's a
tough
one.
I'm always go to quarterback. I mean, if I had to pick, I'm gonna look at Patrick Mahomes because of just what he's going to do. Like I think out of any coaching quarterback, I think Andy Reid loves seeing Patrick Mahomes throw the ball more than Patrick Mahomes. Like there's most of the time there's a coach we want to run it sometimes. I think when Patrick wants to run it, Andy wants to throw it.
Speaking of Chiefs, let's get one call in. Curtis in Colorado, he's worried about Thursday night football with the Chiefs. What do you got, Curtis?
Hey, yeah, I've been kind of going over everything and kind of watching just the in-game stuff. Like, you can look at the stat line all day long, and it's not going to tell you anything about what you saw in-game. The Chargers game had me really conflicted. Because at least I was happy we came out with the win. But I am very concerned about the team, and I think maybe some of it is the media deluge that we're getting as Chiefs fans, and about how, quote, the Chiefs didn't win that game, they gave it away. So I guess my question is, like, can you guys talk me off the ledge? Because I'm, maybe this is my privilege speaking as a Chiefs fan for the last several years, but I'm highly concerned, and we're 2-0, and I'm highly concerned.
Marshall, you got to hold Curtis's hand. What do you got for Curtis?
That game was a toss-up game. The Chargers could have won just as well as the Chiefs. Their identities are so similar. The difference is the Chiefs, they have the better quarterback. Like the better quarterback, and I like everything about the Chargers and how they're going about their business. But right now, Pat Mahomes, he took that game on his shoulders and was like, all right, here's what's up. Now, the other thing is, defensively, some guys showed up, and they started rushing the passer because in the beginning parts of that game, the Chargers, they pushed him around. But I don't think you should worry. I like where the Chiefs are at right now.
Seth Diggs coming up, hour two on the Rich Eisen Show. The great Ed O'Neill will call in hour three. So much more where this came from. Stay tuned on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be right back. Still on Roku exclusively. I think you're right. Sometimes when you're watching the Chiefs games, it looks like that coach is sitting there like a proud papa watching his kid like hurl the ball. It looks like kid football. It looks like Pop Warner, and he just has this grin on his face watching his quarterback perform.
They just want to dial it up. Like Andy, it's like most teams get in the red zone and it's like, all right, let's run a simple play. Nah, Andy has something concocted in the red zone. And I'm going to say this, it's fun football. Like when I watch the Chiefs play, I'm like, I want to play on that team. it looks fun compared to when I watch Tennessee, I'm like, I don't want to be the running back there.
I was going to ask you that in our What's on 28's Mind segment. Like, what quarterback do you want to play with? Is that who it is? Mahomes?
Oh, yeah. 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 You know, Mahomes, he's a guy who controls everything, but he doesn't have to. There's some quarterbacks that need to be in control of everything. And everything has to go their way. But for him, it's just like, he's just having fun. Mm-hmm. The game looks so much fun watching him play it.
He looks happy out
there.
He
does.
He looks really happy out there. TJ, you're letting me down over there. You don't even have a glass in your hand.
Well, I mean, the glass is on the table.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. Champagne for everybody here on a Tuesday.
You can't really see it.
Just had to check. Wanted to make sure you were with me.
I'm sipping on
Because if you're not with me, you're against me.
Well, I would never be against
you. It's a Champagne Tuesday. That much more coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see you after the break.
for the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments. It's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents. Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.